I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas. Quite chilly Austin, Texas. And you know, if it's freezing, as I'm looking out right now, I'm looking at our pool and there are still icebergs drifting in our pool. We're in kind of middle of Texas. So everywhere north of here is much, much colder. As we were watching football this weekend, what was going on in Buffalo? It was like 36 below. People were bringing their own shovels
in
Kansas City.
I kind of loved it.
I loved watching it.
But it felt like watching adult snow day. Yeah. I mean, you know me, I'm not always into watching the sports, and I certainly didn't watch all of the games, but our kids are at TCU right now. They're having snow days. I don't know. There's just something fun about the seasonal experience. And I don't mean that to make the light of like any of the dangers that come with it.
When things are going great, like when your pipes aren't frozen, when you're not, you know, if you have a nice fire and all that, there's nothing better than a good cozy day.
Yeah. And I liked watching the dudes being dudes at the Buffalo game, like,
yes,
like just laying in the snow together, drinking beers, just trudging through, fans out there to support their team.
Digging their own like barca loungers into the snow. And I love that in Buffalo that for the first time, like really in the history of the NFL, they announced nobody has seats today. There are no seats. Just dig out and stand where you want to stand. It was kind of just first come, first serve. Wherever you can be, just try to get in the stadium because it was just crazy how much snow fell up there.
And people were like trudging through it. Yeah. I mean, those videos even made their way to me. Well, we watched a little bit of the game. We also watched a little bit of the Emmys.
We watched all of the Emmys. It was, you know, it was a crazy night. As we get into the Emmys, because obviously people have reached out to us to kind of ask our opinions because, well, we have both been on the Emmy red carpet. Some of us have 4 Emmys. Lauren. And so it's something we really cared about because obviously it's the industry we are in and the industry we love. The Emmy should have taken place a long time ago, but both unions, the writers, actors were on strike. So what should have happened in September, the 75th Emmys, this look back, this retrospective and this celebration would have been fantastic in September. The fact that we just went through the Golden Globes, the Critics' Choice Awards, and within 8 days, we're having our third celebration, but not even really of the same year because this is last year's Emmys. And on top of that, this weather pushed that Bills football game. So not only do we have one football game, we have 2 football games. Oh, and by the way, whether you care or not, it's a big deal. The Iowa caucus is going on. So there's more news than we are used to. And now we're going to try and shoehorn the Emmys in. They didn't stand a chance.
Because that Buffalo, the Bills game was not supposed to be Monday. It was supposed to be last Saturday, but weather pushed it.
And then you had a major market, Philadelphia. The Eagles were playing right after that. That's a huge game.
I know. The cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia posted from the
Watching. The people at the Emmys were not even caring about the Emmys. They were watching football.
On their phones. Yeah. And you could see some people, when they would cut to the audience, you could see people on their phones. And I was like, are they watching the football games maybe? I mean, it was even physically an empty theater.
Yeah.
Like the theater wasn't full. There were a lot of empty chairs. And I was thinking, you know, usually in with award shows, they hire seat fillers. If they have empty chairs, could they not even get seat fillers? I mean,
well, they
what
had
was
a
happening?
Few because obviously Harrison Ford was in front of, Anthony Anderson's mom, which we'll talk about her in a little bit. But, you know, Harrison Ford stuck around for a little bit. Then he went probably went backstage before Calista's big moment. And it was very interesting that the director, I could tell, had a really tough time shooting angles of the audience because it was so empty. It looked like Hollywood didn't even care about the Emmys.
Well, when we've gotten the ratings, and I think just based on all that, we're not surprised.
Yeah, they were abysmal.
This is a new low. The headline from Deadline Hollywood is Emmys sink to another historically low audience, down 27% from 2022. So in 2022, it was down, a new low.
And by the way, it was funny, I read that article today. In 2022, the big headline was Emmys down 25%, they mm-hmm. sink to a new low. It is crazy that we have come out of the COVID pandemic where we finally can actually be together and celebrate, and it's going right. even further down the toilet.
Right. It says it's a significant decrease from the previous all-time low. So that most recent all-time low was less than 6 million people. Now it's down to about 4. So you lost an additional 2 million people. I mean, it's rough. The awards show was down more than 37% from the last time the Emmys aired on Fox, which is in 2019. So really, really rough. And it's just in just a few years. And of course the pandemic was a big part of it, but these awards shows have gone down. I actually didn't think the show itself was that bad.
It wasn't. Look, Hollywood has an insatiable appetite to pat itself on the back and tell each other how great they are. So it's not going away. The Oscars, the Globes, all that stuff. You're never going to stop Hollywood elites from celebrating each other. But with that said, I agree with Lauren. It was a good show. It was the 75th anniversary, so it was also an important show. And the producers did a good job. I won't say they did a great job. They did a good job of trying to celebrate history, going back and having these big reunions, the gatherings of Cheers and Good Times.
If you didn't watch, what they did was it was the 75th annual Emmy Awards. So they did some retrospectives looking back at the history of TV, and they reunited casts from some of the big shows. One thing I didn't understand was when they looked back at all of the significant moments in TV and they brought up 9/11.
Well, it's,
I'm like, well, that's a news moment. We're talking about
scripted
and reality.
If you're talking about the 75 most influential moments in television, all 75 are going to be news. Right. I mean, you would say JFK being assassinated. You would say, all those.
Landing on the moon.
It would either be, honestly, sports or news. So it has to be TV moments of entertainment.
That was weird to me.
And most of those, honestly, are going to be the MASH final show, Cheers final show, The Miracle on Ice. So anyway, with all that said, they just seem to miss the mark sometimes. Anthony Anderson was the host. He did fine. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. He did fine. The opening of the show, in my opinion, did not need to be 15 minutes of Anthony Anderson singing and dancing when they were referring to, for example, Miami Vice. I would have loved to have seen the guys from Miami Vice doing.
Well, it's the same issue I had with the Globes, which is, I really don't think these shows need to be hosted. I feel this way across all the awards shows.
And this is nothing against Anthony Anderson. Just
I actually thought he was, first of all, worlds above Joe Coy.
Right. But yes, the bar was set very low.
And he was giving it his all. I mean, yes. At one point he put on that latex suit from American Horror Story when Dylan McDermott was on stage. Anthony Anderson was working hard. He brought his mom out. And the thing is, they brought the mom out in this bit to jokingly cut people's speeches off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, but that's the problem. I would rather see Jennifer Coolidge give her whole speech and you just cut her off and we don't need this much like host time.
All the other stars were like, oh my God, please make it stop. And it didn't stop. The only good news, babe, is that they quickly got that note.
They did.
Yeah. And she didn't do it again.
Well, right. Yeah. And it, cause I mean, I don't want to miss Jennifer Coolidge thanking the evil gaze. It was so funny and
brilliant.
And again, you know, then you had like Iowa Debris from the Bear who's getting up there to win. And she's literally saying, oh, they're telling me I only have 45 seconds. I'm like,
I don't want to be yelled at.
Yeah. You know, it again, I want to see these people give their speeches. I mean, you've got the most talented people in the world up there. Iowa Debris won, Quinta Brunson won, and she's so funny and great. And luckily they kind of started letting these speeches play out more. But God, Niecy Nash's speech was hilarious. When she thanked herself, that was incredible. So
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So in the heyday, mm-hmm. you know, when these things were tens of millions of people watching and they went very long, the problem may have been long speeches. There were so many long acceptance speeches that was a problem. Are we projecting this as still a problem? And maybe the problem is we're not using these speeches anymore.
Yeah.
Are we missing the mark?
They've overcorrected or something. Yeah. They've gotten too worried about it.
Like now I'm more worried about Anthony Anderson doing a 20-minute bizarre open and I need to get Jennifer Coolidge off the stage in 20 seconds?
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
awards show need to be 3 hours? That's another question.
Well, they have 27 awards to hand out. We probably could have given Beef all 8 awards just in 1 minute. The same guy got up and spoke 20 times. If you didn't see, by the way, it was just a celebration of Beef, the bear. A little Abbott Elementary sprinkled in succession. That's it. That's the only 4 shows that exist in television. Oh, and RuPaul's Drag Race, which has now won 50 Emmys.
I don't think it needs to be 3 hours either. It doesn't. I mean, 3 hours.
Bang it out in 2 hours. I remember the
first—
I was
about to say what's longer, and then I thought, oh, football's longer than that.
Well, the first time I hosted Miss America, it was still 3 hours on ABC, and I was like, wow, that is a lot. In The Bachelor, we started doing 2-hour episodes, which was pretty unheard of. You know, there was a moment, and by the way, not to poo-poo on all of it, there were some great moments going back and seeing, you know, the group from Cheers. But even then, it's like, they should have had more. And there were times when we did get some amazing people together from our history, Carol Burnett and all that. And I'm like, that's what I want to see more of. Give me more of that. But there was that moment where Sonny in Philadelphia, the cast got out there and they were making fun of the point that they've been there for 16 years and 16 seasons and they've never won and been nominated for an Emmy.
Quality over quantity. I think if that same show had been done in 2 hours, we would be like, it was really great. Like, we just needed to cut some of the fat. I mean, yeah, there were some icon. Marla Gibbs, 92 years old, looked amazing.
Joan Collins.
Oh, Joan Collins, Carol Burnett. There were some icons on those
stages. How beautiful
did
Joan Collins look, by the way? It was good to see the cast of Ally McBeal. Here's a funny story. And again, just why I love television. Ally McBeal was the show we went up against when The Bachelor premiered. And everyone thought, you're never going to make it. You're against this amazing show, tour de force of Calista Flockhart. And I loved Ally McBeal. And then later, we went up against The West Wing. And like all these shows that became so huge that came and went while we were still on the air. And I thought about Sonny in Philadelphia. Survivor has been nominated, at least. They were even nominated this year. I go back to The Bachelor. We've been on for 20 years. It's never been nominated. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could jump up there and do the same thing that Sonny in Philadelphia did. It's amazing. And so it also goes to show how, at the end of the day, truly unimportant these shows are. And let me ask you a question. Which one do you think? Which statue means the most as far as dollars? Emmy, Globe, Oscar, or Grammy?
You mean making more money for the person?
Yeah, like what is it? Like, the Emmys, in my opinion, don't move the needle. Nobody's going to go out and watch Ted Lasso or Succession. Those shows are off the air. But like, when the Oscars happen, there is a residual Oscar bounce typically.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Emmys have more opportunity to do that now than ever before because of streaming.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be if you missed a show and then it won all these Emmys, well, I don't know, wait for next season.
Right.
Now, I mean, you and I, after seeing Beef win all these awards, I'm like, well, I didn't watch Beef. Maybe I should go watch it. And it's available on Netflix. But there's a lot of Emmys given out. I mean, I have 4. Like, there's the Creative Arts Emmys. There's the Daytime Emmys. There's the regular Emmys. There's a lot of Emmys. So I think you have a little more brand dilution there. But yeah, I think that, you know, they really had an opportunity here, given that it was the 75th Emmys.
Yeah.
And I think the Globes did a better job of kind of shaking things up this year. I thought I saw more fun content from the Globes. They hired some like fun people to do their social media on the carpet and that kind of thing. And when you think about 4 million people, I mean, that's like one episode of a TV show that people watch right now. And it would even be considered low for a random episode of a television show.
For a live event.
It happens once a year.
It is atrocious. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the numbers. I was looking right as we came on. It didn't come on, but I'm going to guess. Football, my guess, drew 20 plus million viewers. So that, you know, 5X the Emmys. That is what both of these football games did individually.
Now, the Globes did have Taylor Swift. And can we talk about the power of Taylor Swift? Where you might be sick of it.
No.
But I saw all these tweets about how people are feeling upset for Jason Kelsey. And it was all these Swifties being like, I didn't know who this man was a year ago, but now I feel sad for him and I care about him and how he's retiring because He's Taylor Swift's boyfriend's brother. And I totally feel the same way.
Guy's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever play the game.
Yeah, I totally didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know he was a Hall of Famer. I just saw this video of him crying and I'm like, oh, Travis's brother is sad.
Travis's little brother.
But I also saw a guy say, you know, for anybody who's like coming at Taylor Swift about how they're annoyed about the shots of her at football games or whatever, he said, you know, what's been cool for me is he said, for the first time, my daughter has asked me about football.
Well, you know what? That was a response to a former coach who I actually really admire and I've met him. He's a wonderful guy. And I really think he got out over his skis on this. And I don't think he's older. So I don't think he understood the honey trap he was stepping into, because Tony Dungy said, you know, this Taylor Swift obsession is taking away from football. It's hurting the game, et cetera. And that gentleman you're talking about, it was a response to that of like, Tony, you're missing the point here. I'm sitting here with my daughter. The only reason she's watching is because of Taylor Swift. So Tony, I disagree. I don't get the hatred or the whatever vitriol. I think that's more of just a sign of the times of social media and all the, like, it's just cool to say something rebellious and dumb. I mean, what impact does she have? So for 4 seconds, you saw Taylor Swift the other night? Who cares?
Well, and people were like, okay, so you're showing Eminem during the...
Lions game. He's a Detroit guy.
I mean, it's like, right.
I mean, what if I went to... Like, I remember a Cowboy game and I was there and, you know, they showed Ellen DeGeneres and George Bush. Who cares? Like, celebs love sports. I don't understand. I didn't miss one play or one interesting moment of football because I saw Taylor Swift. And if somebody was like you or this little girl, if somebody got joy and found some love because they saw Taylor Swift in her Kansas City jersey or whatever, oh my God. Really? That hurts you? Like, you didn't miss anything. What could you really be mad at? It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there was something I was really interested in last night, and it made me come grab one of your Emmys. We happen to have four here in the house, thanks to Lauren Zima. But as the winners were holding up, you could see there was something inscribed on the bottom of the Emmy. I've never noticed that. And I thought, well, maybe it's something sweet. Maybe it's something poetic. Lauren happens to have her Emmy in hand right now. Babe, what does it say on the bottom of the Emmy?
There are rules with this Emmy. I didn't know. Okay, there are three rules. The laws of owning an Emmy. It doesn't say that. But here's what it says. Number one, the Emmy statuette is the property of and all rights are reserved by the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Okay, I don't know if that means that they own my Emmy, but yes. I guess they're saying the copyright of the Emmy statuette. Number two, the Emmy statuette may not be reproduced or used in any commercial manner unless otherwise permitted by the academies. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Number three, this one's confusing. If a recipient or the recipient's heir or successor proposes to sell or otherwise dispose of the Emmy statuette, such persons shall be obligated to return the statuette to the academy from which received, which will retain the same in storage in memory of the recipient.
So if
I don't know what that means. We need to consult a lawyer.
What it means is if these ever show up at a pawn shop, the Emmy organization has the right to go in there and take it and bring it home. And you're not going to see these things floating around on eBay or whatever being sold around.
By the way, Emmys aren't cheap. Now, I don't know if everybody has to buy their own Emmy.
They do. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, do they? Because they always cut to the engraving station at the Oscars and the Emmys, and they show like footage on social after of the stars getting their Emmy engraved. So do they have to have a credit card on hand? Does the winner have to?
Because like, typically for like the creative arts and for all these other Emmys, it costs like $1,000, right? What? How much?
Oh, Lenny, I know you've never won one. I know. It's not fair.
What is it?
The Bachelor should have. No, Emmys are $500.
$500.
So yes, at this point, I actually have not bought my fourth one yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to. I don't know. Is it worth $500? Like, you still are a winner of it, but at some point I'll spend $2,000 on Emmy statues. So yeah, does that apply? Like, is that only for little old me or?
No, I don't know if that applies for the primetime Emmys. If the winner,
I don't know. Yeah. Like last night, did the wonderful and talented Quinta Brunson have to like whip out her credit card at the engraving station? I don't know. I want to find out. Now we know what it says on the bottom, but oh gosh, they are heavy. So, you know what was another weird moment last night?
What's that?
What was with the guy who won and he was chewing?
Oh yes.
What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a bit. He won and then he came up and he was chewing on like a, looked like some caramel or something. Cause he was like, it
he
was
really
so
kept
chewy.
Chewing.
It was like beef jerky. And I thought, okay, he's going to make a joke about this, like, oh, I took a bite of my hoagie because I didn't think I was going to win. And he kept like kind of chewing and he choked down something and then he gave his speech and it was so bizarre.
He read his speech, which was a rap off of his phone, and you could see his hand shaking and I felt bad because he was clearly so nervous. The speech was well written and cute. I don't love reading important speeches and toasts and that kind of thing off a phone. I think that's a time when you bring a piece of paper. The phone, for some reason, no matter how modern the technology gets, I know we all own a phone, but there's something because I think it just seems like instantly juvenile or instantly like you don't really care. Maybe it's because when someone's looking at their phone, we think they're not listening to us. Like you got to print it out on a piece of paper.
I agree.
And then your phone's locking and you're scrolling and you're using the Face ID
it just
and
looks
you're
weird.
On the Emmys and it's bad.
It's funny. I agree. A piece of paper for some reason feels more intimate.
You know, one good moment from the Emmys, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler reuniting. Loved that. Of course, then you have everybody saying, have them host it. If they wanted to, they would. They don't want to take it on.
I think our point from the Golden Globes is the best. It's like, use those people. Like, honestly, and again, this no offense to Anthony Anderson, but if you had just used all these great casts over 75 years of great television to host essentially the show. Mm-hmm. That would have been, that's all you needed. Mm-hmm. That's it. I think that would have been a great way to do it. And I love seeing, cause I love old television. I saw some great television I grew up with, things I love now. And I do like seeing people celebrated, cause you and I both know how hard television is. And I'll get on a little soapbox here about even my Bachelor family, how difficult it is to make TV, to get a show bought, sold, and put on the air. The set decorators, art department, lighting, directors, photogs, audio, you name it, are working crazy hours. It is a really tough yet rewarding business. And it's a passion. And it's very rare that you have a business that is an art, that is a passion. And so I do like watching the celebration because I respect what all these people do. It takes a lot of work, not just the big stars that we love, but a lot of people behind the scenes. The writers from Succession. I think the guy that wrote that unbelievably beautiful episode when the dad dies and how well that was written and how well it was acted. When all that comes together, it doesn't get any better. And you and I were just talking about how triggering the Succession theme song is. You just hear the theme song when they won an award and you're like, oh, it just took you to a dark, awesome place. And I miss that show already. So I know we can bag on it and the ratings suck and all that stuff, but I still want to say, I love celebrating TV. I love this business and I'm glad we're still doing it.
You know why I'm so hard on it? Because I want it to be good.
Yeah.
You know, that's
out of love.
It could be good. And I saw several people sharing videos like, oh, people don't accept awards like this anymore. Like the time when Julia Louis-Dreyfus was winning for Veep and she brought Tony Hale up with her and they like kind of did a bit from the show for her speech. Yeah, we got to give those moments time, let people have fun again, and get back to the fun of it. I hope that if award shows are going to change anything, I hope it's that. Get back to some of the fun. It doesn't have to be so preachy. People don't want to be preached at. They want to enjoy and allow the actors a little time to do that. You know, don't cut their speeches off. Let Jennifer Coolidge thank the evil gaze.
As a producer, anytime that you feel that you or your show is talking down to the fans, to America, just stop, cut it, get back to fun, get back to entertaining. We love Hollywood. We want to love Hollywood. I think that's the better statement. We want to love you. Help us help you. And speaking of, help us help you. Thank you for listening. We love talking to you each and every time we get the honor to do this. Truly appreciate it. And we will do it again next time because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the most dramatic pod ever. And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.